meeting is called to order. Any member of the public may speak on any item which is on the agenda. The board will only allow comments by members of the public on any item on the agenda during consideration of the item. If a member of the public wishes to speak on any particular item or items or during the public comment, a public comment form must be completed, and those are found at the table over there. The general public at the beginning of the regular agenda during the public comment period may address matters under the jurisdiction of the board and are not on the posted agenda. Any person wishing to make a presentation must submit the presentation in written form with copies furnished to all board members. Presentations will be limited to 3 minutes at the chair's discretion. Comments may be further limited if further comments are substantially similar to comments already made. Okay, so with that, we go to roll call.
Gordon Ford, here. Maria DeAnda,
here.
Clarence Wilmot,
here.
Ron Martin,
here.
Mike Lynch,
here.
Jim DeMartini, Darren Garrett,
here.
Lynn Betancourt,
here.
Linda Scotts Burnett,
here.
Mike Fisher,
here.
Okay, announcements.
You have all received some inserts that go in your Sackers binders. They had some incorrect pages that were reprinted. So you can take this back and just insert these. That's it.
Any other comments? Okay, public comment. Seeing none, consent item. 71 retirement.
Yeah, madam.
Move for approval. Consent item.
I'd like to ask a question. That is an inordinately large number.
Yes.
More than usual.
Yes.
Isn't that because of the cash out?
There was a retirement incentive program, so I believe 38 of these people are the retirement incentive program that the county offered. They got $1,000 for each year of service they completed, up to $25,000.
Okay.
So that's part of them, and then part of them, we don't know. Everybody's just retiring. A lot of deferred people are retiring that have been just sitting there for a while.
Because you guys gave a COLA.
I guess so. Probably.
And they may be looking at what the resulting workload is going to be once those other people leave.
Right.
So 38 of them are from the
38 are the retirement.
The county retirement
program. The county.
But they don't get the COLA because they retired after April 1st.
That's
they
right.
Missed it.
Exactly.
They missed it. So anybody for the record, they are not participating in the COLA
this year.
Not this
correct.
Year.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Second the motion.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? I just had a. I'm curious, Michelle. What kind of an impact does that have on our overall fund? The impact on the fund. I mean, I know it's absorbed, but some individuals may be retiring earlier than they would have otherwise.
Well, Graham's working on the study right now.
Oh, okay, good.
So he's looking into that, and he's also factoring in vacation cash outs mm-hmm. and things like that.
Okay.
So I believe he's going to present it at the end of this month.
Soon.
Soon. Mm-hmm. So he should be able to tell you.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Consent item approved. Correspondence.
The only correspondence item is the response from the retired employees of Santa Claus County, the restaurant, from the letter that was sent on June 9th, and basically letting them know that the board was considering making some revisions possibly to the non-valuation reserve, and Resco's response came back that they were not in favor of any changes at this time.
Okay. Administrator.
Tom's not feeling well, so I'm filling in for him today. I'm going to talk a little bit about his memo on the reallocation of non-valuation reserves. Tom would like to have you consider these changes. Just to give you a little bit of background, there's 5 non-valuation reserves. The largest by far is the health benefit subsidy, which is a little over $100 million as of July 1, 2009. And I'm going to talk in these terms because we don't have final figures as of June 3, 2010. During the year, the transactions that occurred, $10 million was transferred from this reserve to employer reserves. This was voted on by the board in April of 2009. And this is basically to offset employer contributions for the 2009-2010 fiscal year. The board also, there was also approximately $3 million in benefits paid out to retirees from July 1st to December 31st. That also was approved by the board. This benefit was discontinued in effect of January 1st, 2010. In addition, the board also agreed that the non-valuation reserve should share in the losses of the system on an overall basis. So a contra reserve was set up for approximately $31 million that will be offset against the non-valuation reserves and primarily the health benefit reserve. In addition to the health benefit subsidy reserve, there is also a $5,000 death benefit reserve, which had approximately $5.3 million as of July 1st, a special COLA reserve with $3 million, a legal contingency reserve with $3 million, and a very small reserve for Tier 3 disabilities. We've already talked about the letter that was sent effective June 9th to RESCO, and again, RESCO did not want any changes made to the valuation reserves. I think Tom's intent on this, I didn't work very closely with him, but I think the whole idea behind this was to set up the reserves in such a way that they would better reflect what is going on economically now with the board as far as their direction based on the new excess earnings policy or the revised excess earnings policy, which basically states that no ad hoc benefits would be made available to retirees unless the system was 90% funded. So he's making these recommendations or changes so that it's not changing the dollar amounts per se, but what it is it's putting them in different buckets so that they better explain to a reader of the financial statements what the kind of the board's intent is. So I'll just go over them very briefly. His first recommendation is to transfer approximately $31 million from the revocable health benefit subsidy reserve to a reserve to offset losses in the contra account. His second recommendation is all...
No, and Hank, that would reflect their share of the losses.
Correct.
That's what that figure
right,
is.
Right, okay. Yeah, so it's just a movement, putting it into just another reserve account in the non-valuation reserve. In addition to that, he would also like to set up a contingency reserve of approximately 2%. We don't have an exact amount on that just yet. We will as of June 30, 2010 audit once that's completed. So it's kind of a bit of a soft number, but we don't have an exact one there. He also is recommending that we transfer from the retiree a special COLA reserve to the death benefit reserve enough dollars to raise the balance in the death benefit reserve to $6.1 million. And his last... recommendation is basically to close down the revocable health benefit subsidy reserve and the special COLA reserve and put them into a separate reserve called Reserve for Future Employer Contributions. Now, these are his recommendations. The board can change these again at any point in time should they choose to do so, but he feels that these descriptions will better identify what the intent of the board is, at least at this point in time or at this. So he's kind of making that recommendation.
Can you clarify number four? A little bit more, because the way it's set up there, it's that we've got $10 million, mm-hmm. that could be used in future years to help support the county's contribution. Whereas the members of the board have said that we would not be making contributions to the county in future years, since we have contributed substantial amounts.
This is a recommendation that Tom wanted to put in, but you know, if the board chooses, they could call it something different. This is just a matter of, I think, trying to have better descriptors so when people pick up the financial statements, they're going to look at those reserves and say, oh, that's what they're for, and I think he was trying to get to that point. If the board has different thoughts on that or would like to change the name, I'm sure he would be...
If anything, it would be a discretionary reserve. If we're going to name it at all, it would be a discretionary reserve. Because I don't want to infer any promises or anything, even though members of the Board of Supervisors have stated that they do plan on coming to the Board of Retirement next year in order to request additional monies.
Can I ask about the timing? As you said in the correspondence, the letter suggested it was not appropriate to do this time. Your timing issue, I guess, was for a more definitive or clearer financial statement.
I believe that's it. I think it's a chance of
change, but there's no driving force as far as now versus next month or the following month.
I don't believe so. It would be nice to have it so that when we publish our financial statements as of June 30, we could have the new terminology in there. But I didn't have a chance to talk at the time. I wasn't even planning on being at this meeting.
It sounds like there's some concern about what it's going to be used for, or how it's going to be done.
Well, that's item four, right?
I'm just trying to figure out why.
In the memo, he says also reallocating these non-valuation reserves will provide all stakeholders with a better expectation of what purposes these funds may be used for.
I'm looking at the report.
We're going to use that to fund either next year or the year after.
But that decision doesn't need to be made at this time.
No, it doesn't.
But it infers.
I understand. So the question then is, if we're upsetting the retirees, if we're upsetting people, why are we doing it now? Why are we changing things now if all we're doing is upsetting people?
Okay, well, Lynn, you have a comment?
Yes. I think this is not a timely matter. One, we have coming up within a month, 30 days or so, we'll have the information from the actuary, so we have some numbers that we can work with and will impact these issues dramatically. Secondly, I think when we start taking a look at these accounts and moving the money around, if you close all the accounts, it really doesn't matter what you do. But then you've committed yourself to taking a course of action. And we already have a commitment. The commitment is the health care reserve. That's what it was reserved for. That's what the money was put in there for. We may not spend it that way. We haven't been spending it that way. But if we want to close it down, if the majority of the board wants to do so, you can do it. I'm opposed to it. And I think that we should leave things intact, at least now. I would like to remove point four and refer this matter for further discussion. And it might include putting point four back in, but I think point four is offensive. And I say that because we've already heard a couple of board members say they didn't want to do this in the future. They were committed not to do this in the future. And now we have this come up with that action being proposed.
So do you second the concept then of maybe waiting?
A postponement, yes, of tabling the matter into the future. But as I say, I'd like point four removed entirely.
Well, but if we postpone it, that's not
an action. That's a non-action. You're right.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, one choice would be just to do it later.
I understand.
To take no action on this item.
Yeah.
Today. Well, except that I think it should be clear. The first three items on this, we have adopted as policy. We have adopted as board policy that the CONFRA account has to be made whole. That the losses have to be also measured into the ad hoc accounts. We have adopted the 2% contingency as board policy. And we have, as board policy, said we want to take the barrel benefits and make it a permanent deal.
So do we need this at all then?
So we have done those three things. So I'm okay with 1, 2, and 3.
But are you okay with waiting?
But again, if we already have our policy in place.
For clarification, I think for Lynn, I think items 1, 2, and 3 are fine to move forward at this time. It's item 4 that is, you know,
it's a policy issue. That's
I'm in agreement with removing item 4 today and move a motion forward that passes items 1, 2, and 3.
I'd rather see delay on everything.
No, I think... You know, if you look at the death, benefit, burial allowance, there's been enough topic and discussion brought forth before the board and even the board of supervisors that everyone is pretty much in agreement that this is a quote-unquote vested benefit based upon the historical documentation with respect to those items. So I think that is prudent. Items 1 and 2 are prudent. And we just make a motion to remove item 4 and move those other three items forward.
That would be my motion. I would second that motion.
Maria, what'd you say about you said something about taking the revocable health benefits subsidy reserve and just put it into a discretionary fund?
We're talking semantics here in terms of if we're going to rename it. I would rather, instead of specifying what it's going to be, to more a more liberal term, which is not a political term.
Yeah.
Wrong crowd.
To a discretionary fund that isn't associated with anything.
Yeah.
Well,
so why don't we?
I'm happy with just waiting
and
until...
And I agree.
Waiting, you know, again, my motion is, I think we had a second, move forward items 1, 2, and 3 and remove item 4. Remember, we can't say table it, because table it means that we're just going to leave it intact as it stands. So my motion would be move forward on items 1, 2, and 3 and remove item 4 completely from the motion. Remember, you know, the actions that this board has already taken with respect to these reserves and with respect to making this system whole, as Mr. Lynch has pointed out, we ended the fiscal year on a pretty positive note. As our current policy stands, 100% of those earnings are going to go into the fund, and I think that's proper to do that. So this board has already taken some very prudent measures to make sure that this is whole. I think what we're saying is, until we get a more definite, clearer picture, remove item 4 and move the other items forward at this time, and I'll make that motion again with the second by Mr.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We have additional comments from Jim and then Lynn.
Yeah, I'm all right with items 1 and 3, actually 4, but yeah, my question is, why do we need up to 2% in contingency reserve? We have a reserve for legal, and we don't have these contra accounts anymore. It seems like 1% should be good enough. Why have that much in the reserve? But I don't see what we'd ever use it for.
For market losses. When there's
that's what that reserve's for.
So when we have a big dip, unlike recently.
Personally, yeah. I think we need more than 2%.
I do too. And when we did have more than 2%, it carried us through some of the losses when we'd have market losses. But
well, we used to have a policy where if we ever made any money, it got skimmed off to these comfort accounts. We got left with
We've eliminated that now. So we have moved it. We have moved beyond that at this point. For a long time, this board had a 10% contingency reserve. For
I think the law requires one, right? The law
requires a minimum of one.
And we had three
one.
When I came here.
Okay, Ken wants to make a clarifying comment.
The last time the board voted on this, they made a change, and it was with an agreement with the CEO's office on some issues, and they reduced it from 3% to 2%, and that's why Tom recommended 2%, because that's been the reserve for the last several years.
Okay. Let me move on the motion, as it's stated, to table this motion until after we get the actuarial account and report on what's going on.
I would second that.
Wait a minute. We have one.
You have a motion. This is a subsidiary motion. This is a subsidiary motion to that motion. It's dependent upon the...
I think we have to have a vote. We have to have a vote on the motion.
Call for the question.
Excuse me. Point of information: could we ask counsel, since he made no Robert's Rules of Order, and we're dependent upon that, that a motion to table, is that in order on the main motion?
No, I believe that we need to have a vote on the first motion that was made.
Okay. Now you can vote against it, and then make a if it wins.
If it loses, you can make it subsequent.
I'll attempt to follow the track that you're leading.
We have a motion on the floor.
Call for the question.
All those in favor of the motion on the floor currently is to approve this item with the first three recommendations and eliminating number 4. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Okay, we have two opposite.
Three.
I'm
three.
Sorry.
Opposed is Gordon.
Lynn.
Lynn and Jim.
Okay. Motion carried. Okay. Next item, presentation of the updated strategic action plan.
Kathy, Robert's going to give us
I thought you were going to offer me an opportunity to
do a table
more.
Motion.
Well, it's,
and lose?
No, that's...
Now the motion's passed.
Would have had the motion on the table would have had to have lost.
I see.
And it would almost really have...
Okay. Then I'll bring up my issue next month.
Okay.
She's filing reps for order. You didn't read them, so that's not my fault. I can't deal with it.
Michelle is passing out a folder. And as you know, the strategic planning has been a process. It's basically a process involving a lot of people that started clear back in 2005 for the Board of Retirement, maybe even sooner. But the first piece was to determine the vision and mission, and that was set in 2005. And it's kind of a drill down process. The next step is to set the goals and the objectives, which should be done fairly regularly. They should be updated regularly. This board met for a two-day workshop in April, and that's what we did, is we set some updated goals and objectives to go along with the mission and vision that was already in place. From that point, staff took those goals and objectives, which you'll see is on the left-hand side of your folder. I went ahead and printed out the final adopted version of the strategic plan, so if you want to take it home, read it over, study it a little bit, frame it, whatever works, you can do that. And mostly I just wanted you to see how all the pieces fit together here. And so the staff took the goals and objectives, and our job was to develop some action items, some plans to make this thing happen. Because we already have administrative goals in place that this board approved back in December, and most of those administrative goals were part of the current strategic plan. So we folded Tom's administrative goals that he reports to you out on quarterly into this plan. So this plan might have a few extra items in it at this point that it might next year, but we wanted to make sure and not lose any of the information you already had and yet try to keep it concise. So we folded Tom's list of administrative goals in to the strategic plan for the action items, and we added whatever else we came up with or the board came up with in April. So once you've got your action plans in place, the next and final piece, of course, is measuring those action plans, seeing if they're getting done, and reporting out to you. And for the past 5-6 years, you've been getting a monthly update from staff in your board packets, and then quarterly, Tom has given you a review of his administrative goals. So what's going to happen now is we're going to fold both a monthly staff update and Tom's administrative goals into one document. Because this is this board's, this is our strategic plan. This is our umbrella. This is our roadmap. So by using two different documents that we've been using separately and folding them into this and reorganizing it, we're going to be able to keep this, hopefully keep our strategic plan alive, keep it moving forward. And if we miss anything or something's starting to drop through the grades, we'll be able to see it. And that, wait a minute, we're not doing something. Or you may have a question, well, we really wanted this done and I'm not seeing anything happening on it. So our plan is to keep the strategic plan alive and report out to you quarterly on what's going on in our office with the board and in different projects you have us working on. The reporting process itself is also a drill-down situation. On the right-hand side of your folder, you have what I'm calling the 2010 Action Plan. Now remember, the strategic plan is a 3-year plan. Okay, the action plan is only 1 year. This is the stuff we're doing this year to meet our goals that are in the 3-year plan. And because we're already into the second quarter, you're actually getting an action plan and updates in one piece. Like in December when you see this for 2011, it's not going to have any of this blue writing on it. It's just going to be the plan itself. And then as the year progresses, we'll be adding information to it to report it to you. It's a different format than you're used to seeing. So I hope you can take a few minutes to kind of see how we laid it out. If it's way too confusing, let me know. I'll work on it. Try to keep it concise. In the past, when Tom gave you his quarterly review, he kind of kept a rolling report going. So he gave you the March review and then added June's and added October's and just kept adding. This document was getting to like 12 pages and I was trying to shorten it down. So all I gave you is the update for June. Now if you want to see Tom's previous update, it's actually on the website under the agenda for the April 14th meeting, or I can get it to you. But I'm just giving you the most recent quarter on reporting. And then as you if you will please, if you'll go to the it's actually page 3 of the action plan here. Okay. You'll see each of the goals are listed on the action plan. There's no pretty pictures in the action plan. It's just the goals listed, the action items, the strategies are under each one. So on the very first page is goal 1, the funding and excess earnings. Stancera will be fully funded according to accepted actuarial standards and will thoroughly review its excess earnings policy. Under goal 1, you see strategies. Strategy A, this is diversification. Strategy B, achievable assumptions. And under the strategy, you have tasks. Okay, one of the tasks for the board under goal number 1 was to revise the investment policy. The board completed that project and adopted a new revised investment policy on May 25th. So as you can see, the outcome for June 30th is the investment policy revision is complete and you have a date. So that's my idea, is just to give you bullet point information, bits and pieces, and yet in other places you're gonna want a little more information. So Tom's done his best to fill in the extra notes and stuff for you. If you're really running short on time and you want to look through this action the results and the measurements and what's going on, just read the blue stuff. It'll tell you what we've been doing for the last 3 months. All right, but for now, all the stuff, the action plans, the tasks, we listed them all out for you so that you can get a whole picture of what we started with, a mission and a vision, the goals that the board set, and how we're going to move forward on them. Okay, as I stated a few minutes ago, the reporting is also a drill down effect. One of the things that Tom always gave you on his quarterly review and staff gave you monthly was stuff we were doing in a day-to-day functions. Now a lot of that day-to-day work, I call it our production work, which I don't do a lot of. I usually do the project stuff, and Michelle and her staff and Natalie and Joyce and everybody does the production work. They do it so well you don't even notice it's being done unless it gets missed. And so I didn't want to lose that detail in this report, and yet I didn't want to make this measurement reporting document too large for you. So as far as a little more detail, the drill down effect, as I stated, I gave you another piece of paper. It's just two-sided. I'm going to keep it as short as I can for you. And this is day-to-day function. This is broken out for administration, operations, and benefits. One of the things I see under administration, the third one is the overseeing facilitation of board and staff travel. It says in the 3 months between March and the end of June, there was 20 trip authorizations for 8 separate educational and due diligence visits. Well, that sounds so easy. That's like 20 pieces of paper. How simple is that? Except for that 20 pieces of paper that included airline reservations, hotel reservations, travel arrangements, and every possible detail you could come up with that Kelly takes care of. And I know Kelly's done this for me once or twice, and she takes really good care of us. So that's the kind of stuff I think is important to go ahead and continue reporting to the board, that staff is doing their day-to-day work, and that's why we don't even notice it, because they're doing it so well. If you flip over for operations, a lot of additional reconciliations were added to the workload this year. Those reconciliations are up to date as of the end of April, and I'm sure Hank's still working on them, and I know when we get another accountant, that will be one of the first things they'll probably be doing. So all the reconciliations are going forward. And in benefits, the last notation, and Tom put this in there, was the benefits staff has worked with the county human resources implementing the incentive program. And it came up earlier in the meeting, but Tom's comment was, is that the 71 members that are retiring is over 160% of the 44 approved last March. March is our biggest month. So we're 160% higher than we are in our biggest month right now. So needless to say, everybody's, you know, scrambling operations to make sure all the payroll information is in and it's accurate, and benefit staff to get it back out to our members as accurately and as quickly as possible. So just a little bit of a recap. It's all of a drill down effect. We started out at the top with our mission and vision. The next level, we set the goal, the board set their objectives and their goals. The staff created the action items. Now, if you can see something that's not on there that needs to be on there, let us know. You know, we're absolutely open to adding stuff, removing stuff. And then the measurement, of course, is what we're going to report out to you. So we're going to report it out to you quarterly, and that will be in place of Tom's review and in place of the staff updates that you get monthly. Do that quickly. Any questions?
Yes.
This is
very well done.
Thank you.
Very well done. On page 5, you have task D3. It says see attached, and I don't know where that's located.
Okay, on page 5.
At the top of the page, there's a red asterisk that says see attached.
You do, and that's an error on my part because I didn't take the star back off.
Is there an attachment or no attachment?
It wasn't ready for you, so okay. What that was it was just a draft. It wasn't a final anything. That's something brand new that came up. The succession planning is a strategy that was added at the strategic planning workshop. So there's nothing to report on it at this point. So I was trying to figure out a way to report something brand new like that. You might want a lot more detail on it. And so I determined that something like this, if we have a project in the big plan that's going to need a lot more information and a lot more detail, then it's going to come to you in an attachment like this. So that's what that was, and I was trying to put a draft together, and then I forgot to remove the star. Sorry about that. You know, that was an unfinished draft item that didn't have any substance to it. Right, that's what you'll get, though. If there's some big project going on, you'll get more detail. You'll get it in a single-page attachment. Okay, and the strategic plan will be posted on the web as much of the action plan and stuff as we can figure out makes sense. So we'll get it out there. And if you had any questions or want me to add anything...
Very good job.
Thank you.
That takes us to closed session.
Move to move into closed session.
Second the motion.
The motion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay. And Madam Chair, we're on the record for closed session item 8A. I will be recusing myself.
Okay.
Thank you. 8A, that's the first one. Yep. So he leaves and comes back.
Yep. Okay. Back in session.
Actually, that's for me.
I will read the findings of the closed session. On item 8A, motion was made by Ron Martin and seconded by Mike Lynch to proceed with an appeal of the trial court's decision. Motion carried and opposed, Lynn Bencourt.
That's all? Okay. All righty then. Now, Member Sloan.
Okay. I just have one announcement in the Dennis Nasrawi case versus Buck Consultants. If you recall, that case was filed in Stanislaus County Superior Court. It then was removed by Buck Consultants to federal court, so it's in federal court before the Honorable Ollie Wanger. The defendants, Buck Consultants, filed a motion to dismiss. The court granted that motion. on June 29th and granted the plaintiffs 30 days leave to amend their complaint.
Thank you.
Nothing? Nothing?
Nothing, thank you.
Nothing.
I have nothing to say.
Darren?
Yeah, just to follow up real quick to what staff has already reported. As Kathy was saying in part of her discussion, you know, normally in the month of March we get 44 retirements. To do 71 retirements based upon a multitude of dynamics and issues, particularly when you take into account a lot of these people made these decisions on the spur of the moment, and you know, we're trying to decide if, no, maybe. I received a number of phone calls from people that I represent and heard nothing but positive feedback from the outstanding work that staff did here. And again, you know, this was a plan that the county put together, so obviously it was the county's goal to see that it was a success. And I think by seeing 71 numbers in a 30-day period is a success. And I'd also like to add that there still are a number of retirements pending out there that people have been allowed, as long as they signed an agreement with the county, they're going to be kind of trickling in over time. So I just think that, you know, staff deserves a big pat on the back and big positive kudos for getting this all done. Is tremendous. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. They have worked very hard.
And that's all I have.
Must have been very busy up here in the office.
It is very busy. Very, very busy. Yeah. But we have a good team.
So, yes, you do.
Nothing.
Just one thing, I'm sorry.
Just sits there.
Tom had asked that I distribute this monitor from NCPERS. I had a lengthy article on GASB. Find
on the
interest. The monitor of the NCPERS, readying comments that challenge the GASB preliminary news for pension account.
One of the big changes in there is that the proposals are under the old, under the original GASB proposal to set the assumption rates at the level of federal bonds, which we all know just went to nothing. But this one is to propose to go to the high-grade municipal bonds, if you can find one, whatever that rate it may be. So be aware those numbers may be very low as well.
Very devastating.
You know, when Tom and I did our due diligence to the nearby actuaries, Graham has done quite a bit of study about the new GASB issues, and I think he was going to discuss some of that with us when he comes. So, and how it would affect us.
Yes. Thank you.
Would be helpful.
Okay, I have nothing. So with that, getting adjourned.